If you have your Bibles, let's open those up to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. We'll get there eventually. And I'm looking at the time, and you know that early release that I've been promising you guys for the last several weeks, I might actually be able to do that today. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to attempt to refocus our minds and our hearts on the mission of the church and the values that are necessary for us to be able to meet that mission. And in our culture, with our inherent sin nature and just the American desire for ease and comfort, it's easy to lose focus on things that have eternal value. I mean, just think about all the things in this life that are vying for your attention. Right? You have your job, right? It's asking for 20, 30, 40, 60 hours, 80 hours of your life every single week. Our pursuit of pleasure, entertainment, whatever form that might take. You've got, some of you have school, right? You're studying to become this or that, and they require so much effort out of you. You have social media, which, I mean, some people might spend a lot more time on that than I do, but there's always this enticement of, you know, I might be missing out on something, so I need to stay plugged in on one of those things. One of the things that might be vying for our attention is our appearance, right? We've got this new year, new you kind of mindset. In fact, I actually got this right here from Planet Fitness. Ring in 2020. Join for only 20 cent down, $10 a month, no commitment. So if anybody's interested, you've got that going for you. I will not be taking up that offer. You know, if you've got a spouse, your spouse is looking for some attention, and don't even get me started on if you have kids that are still in the home, never-ending desire for attention and distraction. You know, taking care of all your stuff. We often forget that the more we have, the more we have to take care of. You know, if you've got a house, you have to take care of your house. If you've got a car, you got to take care of your car. Any kind of extras, four-wheelers, side-by-sides, motorcycles, boats, all of that requires maintenance and attention. And it requires money to keep that stuff up, which requires an income, which requires a job, which starts a vicious cycle, right? The more you have, the more you have to keep attention on. And we can spend a great deal of our time caught up in all these things. But we have an eternal reality that must be taken into consideration as we decide how we're going to live the life that we've been given. One day, every single person will stand before God and give an account for how we've lived our lives, and more importantly, we will give an account on what we did with the gift of salvation offered in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that everyone has failed to measure up to God's expectation of perfection, and that there's no amount of effort that we can put in that will ever change that. We will stand before God on our merit or on Christ's merit. This notion of pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps is something that's completely foreign to the idea of Christianity, right? Dead people don't pull on bootstraps. The only way that we can be reconciled to Christ is through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This is why Jesus did what he did in coming to be a part of his creation. This is what we've been talking about for the last several weeks as we were going through the Advent season. We're focused on the coming of Christ, and then we focused a little bit on the second coming of Christ. Jesus came so that we could be reconciled with the Father. Jesus went to the cross to pay for our failures. God pours out his wrath for sin on Christ, so that whoever would put their faith in Christ and turn away from their sin would receive Jesus' righteousness instead of standing in our own righteousness, which is none. And then Jesus rises from the dead 3 days after his crucifixion, showing that death and sin have been conquered. This is the good news of the Bible. This is what we're talking about when we use the word gospel. And the church's mission is to preach the gospel to the entire world so that they can hear the message of salvation and respond. That's why our mission statement for Oak Grove Baptist Church reads this way: the mission of Oak Grove Baptist Church is to reach the lost and equip them to join with us in the process of becoming mature and ministering worshipers of God. There's nothing special about this mission statement. Every evangelical church on the planet has something that sounds very similar to this. And the reason why it sounds very similar to this is because it's based on the Great Commission, which is in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And so if you're there, read that along with me. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." So after Jesus rose from the dead, he gave his disciples the task of taking the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And here we are, more than 2,000 years later, as evidence of the fact that they took part in the mission that Jesus gave them. When Jesus told Peter and the rest of his apostles to begin this work, they never would have been able to imagine that halfway across the world, Oak Grove Baptist Church would exist. Jesus said, "Be faithful to share the gospel in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and eventually it would get to the point where they would go to the ends of the earth, and that would be us." And now it's our turn to do our part for the mission of God, to continue taking that gospel to the ends of the earth. And when we think about this, it can be somewhat overwhelming. If you think about just the general lostness of our world, it's an enormous task that can be daunting. I mean, I read somewhere this week that it's estimated that there are 3 billion people in the world who have little to no access to the gospel. 3 billion people with no access. That's not including the people in the world who have access and have just rejected the gospel. That's people who have zero access to a Christian or the Bible. 3 billion people. And if you think in those terms, it can easily become so overwhelming at the thought of doing this mission that we deem it hopeless and we can stop working at it altogether. And if the effort was ours alone, it would be hopeless. But we must remember that it's not our job to convince people of the truth of the gospel. Right? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Our job is to present it to the lost so that they can respond. Paul makes this clear in Romans 10, verses 14 to 17. Listen to what he says. He says, "How then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.' But not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message of Christ." Right? People have to hear the message of the gospel to believe. Paul makes that abundantly clear. Without the presentation of the gospel, people will not believe. And we have plenty of gospel need around us, right? So let's take this notion of these 3 billion people, which can seem overwhelming, and let's narrow that down just a little bit. The North Carolina Baptist Convention website has a page that is dedicated to pointing out pockets of lostness in North Carolina. And the last time I looked, I think it said there was 250 pockets of lostness that they were concentrating on very specifically. And they're distinguishing a pocket of lostness as an area where the vast majority of people living in a specific location have not accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in these areas, the number of lost people is growing faster than the area around it. And we have two of those areas within miles of our church. According to the North Carolina Baptist Convention website, 3 square miles around Jim Minor Road. Everybody know where Jim Minor Road is? Within 3 miles of Jim Minor Road, there are 4,325 households. Okay, not people, households. All right, so if you think of a household as having at least 2 people in it, you're looking at almost 9,000 people. If, you know, start throwing in kids and all that, you know, 10, 15,000 people within those 3 square miles. Out of those 4,325 households, according to their demographics, 2,900 of those households are unreached with the gospel. 2,900 households. So more than half of the households within that area are unreached with the gospel. And then there was another spot on the map that landed directly on the city of Mebane, right? The city proper. And they said within 3 miles of the city proper of Mebane, there is 4,568 households, and of those, 3,132 of those households are unreached with the gospel. Thousands and thousands of people in our area, with a church on every corner, basically, are unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are a believer in this room, you have been given a mission by your Savior. And that mission is to take the gospel to the lost people that you are frequently around. Right? We are uniquely designed by God and placed where we are, when we are, for the purpose of spreading God's message to the lost. You have been created for this purpose. Psalm 139, verses 14 to 16, talks about how we have been created by God, very specifically. In Psalm 139, King David says this, "For it was you who created my inward parts," talking about God. "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began." So let that sink in for a minute. God designed you. God knew you intimately before the creation of the world. Whatever gifts and talents that you have those because God wanted you to have them. All right? You came across none of that on your own. God gave you every talent that you have. And He wants you to use those talents to bring Him glory. Right? Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7 says this, I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who bears my name and is created for my glory, I have formed them, indeed I have made them. You were made to bring God glory, and He gave you the tools that He wants you to use to bring Him glory. He made us, and He placed us where He wanted, when He wanted, so that we would bring Him glory. We see this in Acts 17, verses 26 to 27. Luke there says, from one man, He has made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times. So He's saying, you are born when you were born for a reason, and the boundaries where they live. So He brought you into the world when He wanted you here and placed you where He wanted you to be. And verse 27 says, He did this so that they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. This is your purpose, to seek after God and to help other people seek after God as well. You have been put right here, right now, so that you can be part of the mission of the church. You have been given the neighbors you have so that you will reach out to them with the gospel. You have the job that you have so that you will reach out to the people that you work with the gospel. You have the classmates that you have so that you can reach out to them with the gospel. And whatever it is that you might do on the side, if you're in a band, your band members are there so that you can reach out to them with the gospels. If you play sports, you have teammates that are there so you can reach out to them with the gospel. Whatever it is that God has given you the passion for, you get to use that to reach out to people with the gospel. And oftentimes when we talk about Christianity, we talk about sacrifice. We talk about all the things that we have to give up in order to be faithful to the mission and the message. But in this, where you have been created with the talents that you have and placed where you are, God is telling you not to sacrifice, but to enjoy with purpose. Okay? You can enjoy being part of that band with purpose. You can enjoy playing sports with purpose. If you love your job, enjoy your job, but enjoy it with purpose. It's not just so you can bring home a paycheck, but so that you can influence the people that God has sovereignly placed around you with the message of the gospel. Oftentimes we think about taking the message of the gospel overseas or, you know, across the world or across the country to that pagan, you know, western side of the world country, right? Like that's what we think about. But listen, the North Carolina Baptist Convention is showing us that these people are right down the street. The lost are at hand. They're easily accessible, but we have to be intentional with our lives to go about reaching them. So the message that I have today is very simple. It doesn't take long to get that out there. The values that we're going to talk about over the next couple of weeks, they tend to be where we struggle. We understand this message. I don't believe that anybody in this room, if you've been in church for any length of time, is going to be confused by the message. The problem is the distraction that we get into that derails us from the mission. Right? We get so caught up in the busyness of life. Like, I don't know about you guys, but it seemed like from Thanksgiving to New Year's Day didn't even happen. Right? It was such a blur. It's just over. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, we're talking about Advent, right? We're supposed to be thinking about the coming of Christ. And, I mean, Christmas zipped by. How much did you think about Christ during the busyness of that season? Because I didn't do it overly well. And I had messages to prepare every single week. But it was just like, you know, sitting before a fire hydrant with your mouth open, like everything just kept coming at me and it was just gone before I even knew it. That's the reason why at the beginning of the year, I like to do a refocusing message on the mission and a refocusing message on the values. Because if we lose the values, we lose the mission. The mission hasn't changed. This will be the mission of the church from this point forward. And you are the church. Right? If you're sitting back, waiting on the church to do something, then you're missing the point of who you are. You are the church. That would be like Kelly and I sitting on our couch wishing the Hamblins would make dinner. Right? We are the Hamblins. We're the ones that have to make the dinner. And so if you're sitting back waiting for Oak Grove Baptist Church to do something, you are the church. It's not this building, right? Tornado flips this thing into Kansas, and there we wind up in Oz. The church is still here with the same mission and the same purpose. And so I had a change of plans. I was planning on starting our biblical prophecy class, series, whatever, tonight as we just wrapped up our apologetics curriculum and all that good stuff, and I was going to start biblical prophecy this week, and I've decided to change that. Tonight and maybe next week, depending on how tonight goes, I want us to come together for prayer and some strategy building to figure out how we can reach this area of our community with the gospel. All right? I want you to be here. Right? I'm gonna say it flat out, right? We had five people here last Sunday night. Five. Which is fine. But we're talking about praying for our community, and we're talking about having people reach for Christ. Right? And then I'm gonna step on some toes here, and I'm not sorry. We have not used the baptismal once since I've been here in 2 years. Okay? This is important. Everybody's busy. Everybody has things that they need to do. But you need to be here. Right? You have as much time in your day as everyone else does. This is important. You need to be here. Right? If you miss every other Sunday night for the rest of the year, so be it. But I want you here tonight so that we can pray for our community and figure out how to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray. We're going to roll up out of here very early. You're welcome. Okay? But this should give you extra time to go home and rest so you can come back tonight ready to have discussion about the mission of God. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you. And I pray that how much we love you is shown to the people that you have placed around us. I pray that you would give us opportunities to share the gospel, even today as we are heading home. I pray that you would give us eyes to see the people that are around us. Lord, I pray that you would show us the areas that are becoming distractions to us, that are not being used for the purpose that you've given to them. Given us those. Lord, I pray that we would realize that the time, the talent, and the resources that have been provided to us, that we're supposed to be using that to be on mission for you. Help us to realize the eternal reality that people will stand before you one day, and we'll either stand there on the merit of Christ, who we have accepted, or we'll stand there in our own merit, and if that is the case, or there's no hope. So help us to bring hope to the lost. We ask this in your Son's precious name. Amen.